The 100 Years' War, the De Guesclin period, the reopening of the Bruges peace talks. Now, in the Church of St. Donatien at Bruges, the papal legate sensed the change of mood as soon as the diplomatic conference reopened in the second week of May 1375. The delegation seemed much harsher and more obdurate than before. They wrote in their report to Pope Gregory XI that they rapidly reached an impasse on the question of sovereignty. All the compromises considered before the adjournment were rejected by one side or the other, and neither had any fresh proposals to offer. The only course which remained open was a long truce of at least 40 years, in effect a provisional peace treaty with the French government paying an annual quit-rent for the parts of the Duchy of Aquitaine that they did not reconquer. This was a device for bringing peace while leaving the insoluble issues unsolved. The English response was not encouraging. They had come to discuss a peace treaty, they said. They were fed up with the turn and the proceedings were taking and were thinking of going home. On May 15, 1375, the conference was suspended for 3 days of festivities and jousting in the market of Bruges organized by Philip of Burgundy, an occasion for the champions to show off their skills and for the Duke to impress onlookers and enemies with the splendor of a prince of the fleur-de-lis. On the 16th, while these celebrations were in progress, a great council met in England to receive what must have been a rather gloomy report on what was happening in the Flemish city. Its proceedings are not recorded, but the outcome is likely to have reflected the government's instincts, fortified by John of Gaunt's reports from Bruges. No one seemed to have thought that the time had come to buy peace at the price that the French were now demanding. But neither did they want to see the conference collapse in disarray after its promising opening. It was decided to authorize John of Gaunt to recognize a truce for 1 year, which would at least enable the conference to limp on into another session at which the French government might prove more accommodating. This could also be expected to save Saint-Savar and possibly Cognac as well. Even this modest proposal generated fresh contention when it was discussed at Bruges a few days later. The problem was that the negotiations were being conducted against an unstable military background, with each courier from Paris, Westminster, or Brittany changing the bargaining positions of the parties. The siege of Saint-Savar was approaching its critical moment. A large English army was operating in Brittany under the command of a man driven by his own political objectives who was not represented at Bruges. In the southwest, the courage of the garrison of Cognac had lasted just 2 months. After fighting off a number of assaults and watching the constable's engineers assembling the stone throwers on the plain beneath their walls, they agreed in about the middle of May to surrender the place to Bertrand de Guesclin on June the 1st, if it was not relieved by then. This passed responsibility for its fate to the English government in Bordeaux. In the second half of May, as discussions resumed at Bruges, the constable and Marshal Sancerre were recruiting substantial forces in the Loire Valley and across central France in order to head off any attempt at relief. A week of acrimonious argument at Bruges finally concluded with an exceptionally obscure document. What appears to have happened is that the two national delegations, unable to settle the terms of the truce among themselves, agreed to leave them to be determined provisionally by the legates themselves. The legates published their decision on May 26, 1375, in the form of an arbiter's award. This document was a brave but hopeless attempt to freeze the military situation as it was before fresh developments once more undermined their efforts. The legates declared a truce of 1 year to take effect immediately, but it would be subject to confirmation by the two kings when they had had a chance to consider it. The ambassadors on each side promised to send one of their number home to deal with this. They were to return with their government's instruction by June the 17th. In the meantime, the document made elaborate provisions for the sieges of Cognac and Saint-Sever. Cognac was to be surrendered into the hands of the Pope and his legates for the duration of the truce. At Saint-Savar, the French siege was to be lifted. The siege works around the walls of the fortress would be abandoned but left intact, and the French allowed to reoccupy them when the truce expired. The bastides of the east and the south of the town would remain in the hands of their French garrisons, but they would be forbidden to engage in any acts of war. Unfortunately, unknown to the negotiators at Bruges, these provisions were already out of date. So what we'll be looking at next time is what happens at Cognac and Saint-Savar. Now the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.